I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa. In the headlines, President Mills sure of retaining power, judging from government's performance. World Bank to fund irrigation project in Afran Plains to improve food production. National Council of Muslim Chiefs appeals for government intervention to stop discrimination against Muslims. Catholic Bishops' Conference to partner other organizations on contingency plans to respond to post-election conflicts. Renewed calls on Ghanaians to help prevent election-related violence. 9 North African countries collaborate to clamp down on militia clashes and weapons smuggling. And UN Security Council lauds efforts of Kofi Annan on ending bloodshed in Syria. Says the summary by Ibrahim Kwating.
President Mills says he is confident that Ghanaians will retain him and the NDC in power because of the enviable track record of his government. Briefing the media in Washington, D.C. on the last day of his official visit to the U.S., the president mentioned single-digit inflation, massive infrastructure development, and reduction in poverty as some of his achievements. Vice President John Mahama says the government recognizes agriculture as the mainstay of the economy, hence government will collaborate with the World Bank to develop the Ghana Commercial Agriculture Project. Under this, the phase one of the Afran Plains irrigation project will improve the investment climate for agribusiness. Mr. Mahama said this when he inaugurated the Chibuku plant of the Accra Brewery Limited. The National Council of Muslim Chiefs has urged governments to ensure that the rights of Muslim students in Christian second cycle institutions are respected. The council bemoaned the situation where Muslim students are made to comply with Christian norms and principles. The Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference is to train and deploy over 1,500 election observers in rural and conflict-prone constituencies in the country. The conference is also working with other organizations like the Christian Council and the IEA to put in place a contingency plan for rapid response to unexpected situations during the elections. 9 North African countries, including Libya, Algeria, and Egypt, are to collaborate to secure their borders in order to clamp down on militia clashes and weapon smuggling in the wake of the Arab Spring uprisings. And members of the UN Security Council have overwhelmingly endorsed efforts by the UN and Arab League Special Envoy for Syria, Kofi Annan, to end the violence and bloodshed in that country.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
The news in detail. President John Evans Atta says he is optimistic that Ghanaians will retain him and the NDC in power because of the achievements of his government in the last 3 years. He said his vision of a better Ghana is on course. Briefing the media in Washington, D.C. on the last day of his official visit to the U.S., President Mills mentioned single-digit inflation, massive infrastructural development, and reduction in poverty as some of the achievements.
It is very clearly on course. If you heard my State of Nation address, I was giving Ghanaians a gist of what we had done. It was like a report to the people of Ghana of what we have done, what we promised to do, and the achievement that we have made. If you take the economy, the achievement that we have made is unprecedented. You take energy, you take education, you name it, infrastructure development. As far as I'm concerned, we have done extremely well in all areas. Of course, it would be wrong on my part to say that Now we have done everything. Ghana doesn't need anything. No country ever gets to that stage. But we have done very well. There's a marked improvement between what we came to find and what it is that Ghanaians can see for themselves. So I think that we are going to have a renewal of our mandate because Ghanaians can see the difference, can see what it is that we have done. I remember telling President Obama that we are in similar boats, but I assured him that our boats would sail successfully to their final destination. We need to show the people what we've done, and I can assure the people of Ghana that we will let them know, and already they know what it is. We are not going to be complacent. We are going to go to the last wire and make sure that all the works in progress are completed and that everybody has a good idea as to the extent to which we have gone in fulfilling the promises that we made and the extent to which we have helped improve the standards of living of Ghanaians.
President Mills described his official visit as successful in view of the critical areas American businessmen have pledged to invest in. These include energy, rail, and water. He said he is happy that Exim Bank US is prepared to finance some of these major projects, which will help create opportunities for Ghanaians. President Mills explained that financing of projects has been a headache for government. That was why he turned to China for support. He said with the Exim Bank on board, Ghana stands to record an infrastructure boom.
I've been very proud of the relationship that exists between Ghana and the U.S. and the honor that he did us by choosing us as the first sub-Saharan African country to visit upon his assumption of office. Obviously, we have maintained this relationship. And from what we've been able to do here, I think we have been raising this relationship to higher level. We had the opportunity to meet a number of cabinet ministers, a number of chief executives, all of whom have some interest in Africa in general and Ghana in particular. And they indicated very clearly their willingness and preparedness to help us increase our rate and level of development and growth. They commended us on how far we have come, and we explained certain issues to them in detail. And I have no doubt whatsoever that the discussions have inured to our mutual benefit, and we begin to see some increased activity in all areas. The areas that they have chosen for investment are areas which are of great importance to our people. I mean, the railway sector is a very important sector. There are some who are interested in energy and who can downplay the importance of energy. But let me say that one of the issues that came up and really gave me hope for the future was the statement by the head of Exim that when it comes to financing of projects, they are prepared to finance our projects. Financing has been our problem, and that's why we went to China. And we are grateful to them for what they've done. But it's also important for you to diversify your sources, and I'm happy that Exim is prepared, you know, to play ball with us.
President Mills. The president has since left Washington, D.C. for Accra. Vice President John Mahama says government recognizes agriculture as crucial to growing the economy and alleviating poverty. He noted that as food security is becoming an issue of global strategic concern, government is collaborating with the World Bank in developing the Ghana Commercial Agriculture Project, GCAP. What this seeks to do is to develop the phase one of the Afran Plains Irrigation Project to improve the investment climate for agribusiness. The Vice President said this when he inaugurated the Chibuku plant of the Accra Brewery Limited in Accra. Chibuku is a kind of traditional beer made from local sorghum and maize. Vice President Mahama commended Accra Brewery for the initiative to package the country's traditional brew on a commercial scale.
The commissioning of this plant is an important milestone because it's the first time in the history of our nation that a product similar to one of our traditional brews, which is called Pito, is being packaged on such a large commercial scale. As we commission this commercial Chibuku plant, I hope other companies will emulate ABL by looking inward for raw material, even if this means developing such a raw material base locally themselves. I believe this is the only way to create jobs and employment for our people, to add value to our own goods while remaining competitive at a global level by developing our production capacity. Government would like to see Accra Brewery install more such Chibuku plants in other parts of the country, particularly in those regions where maize and sorghum are produced in large quantities.
The managing director of Accra Brewery Limited, Greg Metcalfe, said what distinguishes the Chibuku from other beers is its opaque nature and is packaged in a carton and not a glass bottle. The newly inaugurated Chibuku plant has the capacity to process more than 200 metric tons of sorghum and 300 metric tons of maize per annum. It will enable about 550 farmers to supply these raw materials to the plant. In a related development, Vice President John Mahama has reiterated the need for young achievers to be celebrated rather than linking successes of young people to superstitious beliefs. The Vice President was speaking at the launch of the 10th anniversary of RLG Communications Limited in Accra. The company is Ghanaian-owned and specializes in the training of the youth in mobile phone servicing, repair and assembling. Vice President Mahama called on local companies to put in place systems to train entrepreneurs. As part of the anniversary, an RLG Ghana Foundation was launched. The foundation will undertake two maiden projects, which are the RLG Water for Life and RLG Mobile Stay Alive campaign. The RLG Water for Life project will ensure that more than 1 million people in deprived communities have access to potable water. On the second project, the RLG will partner with road safety institutions to campaign against the use of mobile phones whilst driving. The National Council of Muslim Chiefs has appealed to government to take immediate action on reports that some Muslim students in Christian second cycle institutions are under pressure to comply with Christian norms and principles. The council believes the action is a complete violation of their fundamental human rights and freedom. The council, led by the National Chief Imam, Sheikh Nuhu Sharubutu, made the appeal when they called on the Vice President John Mahama at the castle Osu. The Vice President said he had directed the Ministry of Education and the Ghana Education Service to commence investigations into the issue. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
Led by the National Chief Imam Sheikh Usman Nuhu Sharubutu, the council put a number of requests before government. The Public Relations Officer of the Council, Chief Imoro Baba Issa, commended government and the Hajj Committee for improvement in the Hajj organization and management, according to Chief Imoro Issa, whilst in Saudi Arabia to perform the Hajj. The council established contacts with two Islamic international organizations, the Islamic World League and the Islamic Development Bank. The Islamic World League has asked the Ghanaian Muslim chiefs to acquire land so they can come within the shortest possible time to establish another Islamic university and invest in the country. The council seeks government assistance in this direction. As election approaches, the council says it has put in place a peace committee to help educate members, especially the Zungu communities, who are usually used by some politicians to cause mayhem.
In today's global village, Your Excellency, one would have thought that tolerance, respect and consideration of all views, beliefs and cultures have become the order of the day. Imagine some public schools in the country will insist that all students must adhere to one particular religion, is to say the very least myopic and unacceptable. This is completely undermining the spirit of the Constitution of Ghana and the spirit of living together as one family. The Council of Zungu Muslims is the most effective and paramount stakeholder in the affairs of Zungu community. community and are ready and willing to assist the government in maintaining peace and harmony in our community and the nation as a whole.
Vice President John Mahama said government will take action on the issues raised. He debunked rumors that persons in the Zongo communities will face discrimination during the biometric registration.
Ghana is a country in which our constitution upholds the freedom of worship, and nobody can be compelled to worship in any religion that they do not ascribe to. So the Ghana Education Service is going to take care of that. With regards to biometric registration, we have asked the NCCE and the Electoral Commission to conduct as much education as possible. It is the same registration exercise. This is not the first time we're going to go through registration. Everybody who has been qualified to register before can register again and make a follow-up. On the issue of the land, for the emergency, I've mentioned it to the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources already. I will put him in touch with the office of the Chief Imam so that we can look around and find where a suitable location can be procured in order that this Louder Pro project goes forward.
The Council of Muslim Chiefs is also appealing to government to grant amnesty to some Muslim brothers and sisters who, according to them, have been wrongfully imprisoned. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo, Accra.
The national president of Bonaboto, Lance Adoguba, is asking government to release feeding grants due boarding senior high schools in the northern, upper east and upper west regions to prevent the imminent closure of those schools. He says suppliers of food to the schools have threatened to stop if they are not paid, whilst the heads have also resolved to close down the schools if food supply is stopped. Mr. Adoguba told Radio Ghana that if the schools are closed down, it is likely students, especially candidates, will perform abysmally in the upcoming WASI. The Business Senior High School in Tamale has scored 100% in the 2011 West African Senior High School Certificate Examination, WASI, the first time in 49 years since the establishment of the school. The school presented 522 candidates. The headmaster of the school, S.B. Aware, made this known at the first ever speech and prize-giving day of the school at Tamale. Correspondent Saka Mohammed has the rest of the story.
The Business Senior High School was established in 1963 as a private business college in a rented apartment at Shobuk and later moved to Sakasaka and then to its present location. It was absorbed into the public system in 1965 and renamed Tamale Commercial Secondary. The school now runs three academic programs, namely business, home economics, and general arts. The current population of the school stands at 2,644 with 113 staff. The headmaster of the school, S.D. Awari, said the school has stopped a lot of successes in both academics and other disciplines. He mentioned that the school has produced lawyers, accountants, politicians, and team executives. Mr. Awari said the school has an enviable record in sports. As it became champions in 2001 Milo Games and runners-up to Tamale in 2002, it commended the government for providing not less than 5 projects for the school. Mr. Awari, however, mentioned inadequate dormitories and accommodation as well as insufficient bath houses for boys, solid classrooms as some of the challenges facing the school.
Saka Mohammed reporting. Students of the University of Ghana say the Commonwealth has not done much to effectively connect its members through culture. A representative of the students, Edmund Combat, said most of the cultures observed by Commonwealth countries have been those of Britain and not other member countries. He says through the Commonwealth, Britain has only promoted its own agenda. Mr. Combat was a speaker in a debate on how effective the Commonwealth has been able to connect cultures. Here's a report from our parliamentary correspondents.
The debate featured the Accra Polytechnic coming against the University of Ghana. Edmund Combat of the University of Ghana said a careful look at events like the Commonwealth Games brings to light the point that only British-originated disciplines are observed. He therefore advocated the inclusion of games from Africa, such as Oware and Ampi. He also cited Britain's stance on homosexuality.
We heard the British Prime Minister say that members of Commonwealth of Nations and other countries that does not adopt, accept, implement gay rights, they are going to deny them aid. In Britain, polygamy is not allowed. In Africa, polygamy is allowed. In Britain, incest is not allowed. In Africa, incest is not also allowed. But let us ask ourselves, If you are going to collect cultures, and the British Prime Minister is telling them that we should accept gay rights, meanwhile in his own country, they don't accept polygamy, and we accept polygamy, how are we going to reconcile this issue? Any member of the Commonwealth that tried to assert its independence is deleted. It happened to Zimbabwe in 2002. It happened to Ireland in 1931. Is that collective culture?
The principal speaker for the Accra Polytechnic team, Jonah Chakujuk, however, noted that through the Commonwealth, scholarships, games, and other platforms are afforded member countries through which the diverse cultural backgrounds of the countries are brought to bear. This way, citizens can learn from each other. The team, however, noted that to really make other countries fully embrace one's culture, that country must be able to market aspects of its culture.
A report was filed by our correspondents in Parliament. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mills sure of retaining power, judging from government's performance. World Bank to fund irrigation project in Afran Plains to increase food production. National Council of Muslim Chiefs appeals for government intervention to stop discrimination against Muslims. Catholic Bishops Conference to partner other organizations on contingency plans to respond to post-election conflict. Renewed calls on Ghanaians to help prevent election-related violence. 9 North African countries collaborate to clamp down on militia clashes and weapon smuggling. And UN Security Council lauds efforts of Kofi Annan on ending bloodshed in Syria. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
Welcome back. The Dankwa Institute has demanded an immediate release of the 2010 population and housing census to ensure a smooth takeoff of the biometric voter registration. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, the executive director of the institute, Gabi Ocheredakon, said the move will give credibility to the voter biometric registration.
Even the Constitution recognizes that there's a correlation between the national census and the electoral process. For more indication, the results are ready, all announcements have been made, and we are saying that since you have the results, give it to everybody, let it be available to Ghanaians. We're going to have a new voter register, and we are looking to see that we have a credible voter register and a credible election. Biometric registration will not be able to tell us whether a person is Ghanaian or not. So if we have the results of the census can tell us, for instance, how many Ghanaians were 16 in any particular constituency at the time the census was done in 2010.
However, a member of the NDC communications team, Abuka Sambata, said it is illegitimate for the Dankwa Institute to demand the release of the results. According to him, the Ghana Statistical Service is an independent institution and should be allowed to work accordingly.
In 2004, we had presidential and parliamentary general election in this country. Nobody raised red flags. Nobody pigeonholed the then government to publish the population and housing figures before the 2004 election. The 2010 population housing census, the provisional result was declared less than 1 year. So I think that it is good for us to give the Ghana Statistical Service a room to operate as an independent body. Ghana Statistical Service is an independent body. Before they embark upon this particular exercise, there was a time frame they allocated resources for them.
So you believe that the figures are not ready and so the Dankwa Institute should wait for it to be ready? Huh?
Let me say that the population figures are not preconditioned to determine the fate of the upcoming biometric voter registration exercise.
Now, the member of the NDC communications team, Abu Kasambata. The Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference is to train and deploy more than 1,500 election observers, especially in rural and conflict-prone constituencies. The conference is also working with other organizations like the Christian Council and the IEA to have a contingency plan for a rapid response of Ghanaians who can intervene and dialogue during unexpected situations of post-election conflict. The Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra, Most Reverend Charles Palmer Bako, made this known at the launch of an election poster codenamed Cast for Ghana's 2012 Elections in Accra. The Bonafo Office of the National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, has called for the participation of citizens in preventing election-related violence. The regional director of the commission, Issa Abdullahi Nasagri, made the call in an interview with the GBC in Sunyang. He said the commission has identified some measures to help tackle election violence in the December 7 elections. Mr. Issa noted that as part of the measures, a national theme dubbed Stand Up for Ghana will be trumpeted to instill in Ghanaians a sense of patriotism. He said area and town councils will play a key role. Mr. Issa explained that each council will have political party leaders and assembly members, among others, under the focus group approach. Waterview Holdings Limited has denied any wrongdoing in the process that led to the payment of 25 million euros to it by the government of Ghana. It says the said amount was through settlement it reached with the Attorney General's Department and not as a result of a court judgment. Waterview Holdings Limited has also denied media reports that it is seeking double payment from the state in its attempt to get outstanding balance due the company from the state, which remains unpaid. The Managing Director of Waterview Holdings Limited, Audrey Olandi, said this at a news conference in Accra. Georgia Sikri and Beatrice Opong were there for Radio Ghana.
The Managing Director of Waterville, Andre Olandi, said his company won the contract to construct two new stadia and rehabilitate two others for CAN 2008 through an open bidding process in compliance with the procurement laws of Ghana. He said a third stadium was added to the scope later. Mr. Olandi said despite the approval for the award of the contract, government decided to award two out of the five stadia already awarded to Waterville to Shanghai Construction General Corporation the procurement procedure. He said Waterville's contract with the government of Ghana was cancelled in 2006. According to him, government certified the value of work provided by Waterville at 21.6 million euros.
Waterville asked the government to advance some funds from its certified certificates to pay to the subcontractor and allowing them to continue the work to achieve the target of October 2007. It was only through a mediation process referenced within the contract that Waterville got paid after several years by the government an amount equal to 25 million euros to cover the balance of reimbursement owed, late payment interest and penalties against losses incurred by Waterville.
Managing Director of Waterville Holdings Limited, Andre Olandi, ending that report by Georgia Sikre and Beatrice Opong. The Standing Committee of the Western Regional House of Chiefs has affirmed their support for government in its decision to relocate portions of the gas plant from Bonyere to Etiabo. At a news conference in Accra, the president of the Western Regional House of Chiefs, Aulai Atibrukusu, stated that the region stands to benefit tremendously from such a move. Ibrahim Kwating reports.
The Western region has been in the news for good reasons since the discovery of oil and gas in commercial quantities. The discovery, in the view of the people, marks the beginning of their economic emancipation. It is against this backdrop that chiefs in the region demanded a 10% share from government in the oil and gas proceeds from the area. The euphoria associated with the discovery seems not to have died down, as indicated by the desire of some communities in the region to ensure that they get the maximum benefit from the resource.
Ibrahim Kwating reported. On the international front, members of the UN Security Council in a ministerial-level meeting yesterday overwhelmingly endorsed efforts by UN and Arab League Special Envoy for Syria, Kofi Annan, to end the violence and bloodshed in that country. The council meeting called by Britain was presided over by its Foreign Secretary William Hague. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon commended his predecessor for addressing the humanitarian crisis and calling on President Assad to join in an inclusive Syrian-led political process. Nine Northern African countries, including Libya, Algeria and Egypt, have agreed in Tripoli to work together to secure their borders in a move to clamp down on militia clashes and weapons smuggling in the wake of the Arab Spring uprisings. Libyan Prime Minister Abdul Harim El-Kaib at the Conference of Interior Ministers stated that under the plan, the countries will adopt stronger measures, including sharing intelligence and pouring more money into border towns. Sending you the main points again. President John Evans Atano says he is optimistic that Ghanaians will retain him and the NDC in power because of the achievements of his government in the last 3 years. Briefing the media in Washington, D.C. on the last day of his official visit to the U.S., President Mills mentioned single-digit inflation, massive infrastructure development, and reduction in poverty as some of the achievements. And 9 Northern African countries, including Libya, Algeria, and Egypt, have agreed in Tripoli to work together to secure their borders in a move to clamp down on militia clashes and weapon smuggling in the wake of the Arab Spring uprisings. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.